great book of Ephesians, and we're going to be finishing up. Before we know it, we're going to be through, but we're in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Let me read it to you this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, which reads this. It says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anything one does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." And the church says, you know, Ephesians has been an incredible study, hasn't it? And of course, we still have to put on the armor of God and we'll be finishing up. But it's no wonder that this incredible epistle written by Paul in prison has been called the supreme book of the New Testament. It's a book that should be read and reread and memorized and studied and embraced and hidden in our hearts, loved one. And so as we've been learning now how to walk worthy of our calling, which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, remember the word worthy is to be balanced in your walk, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You know the word of God, you hear the word of God, you do the word of God. In other words, a walk of obedience. We've studied out, you know, marriage and the role of the husband, the role of the wife, and then the children and so forth, the Christian home. But now it's almost as we move outside of the immediate family and we move into a relationship that almost seems out of place, not only today, but out of place even in Paul's day in a way. Now, we have to remember that as we go outside of the family and we look at what's called the slave-master relationship, it is imperative that you understand what Paul is talking about. This is the first century. It is not the 21st century. Amen? Very important because, again, these few verses seem a little bit out of place, but it's not if you were living in Paul's day. Because, you know, when you think about all of that, I mean, slavery existed. So if you're going to understand the very first thing, if we're going to understand verses 5 through 9, the first thing we need to do before we even go into our text this morning is understand them or understand the historical context that they were written in. So the wickedness of slavery, which it is wicked, it's demonic. In Paul's day, loved one, it was accepted. It was universally accepted. Matter of fact, the Roman Empire depended upon the slaves and so forth. In Paul's day, you know, I looked up, I don't know how accurate it is, but the population of the earth in the first century in Paul's time when this was written was only 300 million people. Think about that. But 60 million of those people were slaves, and they covered all the Roman Empire. And so when you start thinking about that, the slaves that were brought in, they were captured out of all different nations and all different kinds of people. Some people that they captured to bring into slavery, they were doctors, they were lawyers, they were educators, they were incredible poets and musicians, all and household servants. All kinds of people. Are you with me? Okay, it's important that you get this. So they were brought in, and of course, now they're in the bondage of slavery. And many of the slaves during the first century in the Roman Empire, they were not only more educated than their masters, they were even more cultured, and they would teach the children and all kinds of things. You could walk, if we transported ourselves back into the first century and were walking down the streets of Rome, you could not tell who was a slave and who was a freeman. Do you understand? Even the Roman Empire at one time, do you know what they tried to do? They tried to, well, they were going to vote that a person who was a slave in the Roman Empire had to dress a certain color or a certain way because they wanted to be able to tell who is who. that law did not pass. And so with all that being said, that's the way it was right there. And yes, slavery has always been cruel, and they could be, the master could sell the slave in a moment or even have him or her executed. So that's the first thing that you need to know. The second thing that you need to know, that in our context, verses 5 through 4, these scriptures are not written to unbelievers. They are written only to believers. They're addressed to Christian slaves and the owners of Christian slaves, and the masters are Christians as well. Do you understand? So we're talking only about Christians. And remember this, the lost, a person that's not born again, it's impossible for them to obey verses 5 through 9. You have to be a new creation in Christ, amen, to do this. And the reason is because you do not have the power, if you're lost, to even attempt to want to obey what Paul is penning here by the Spirit of God. You know, remember those scriptures, Ephesians 5:21, that tells us, you know, don't be drunk with wine, but be ye being filled with the Spirit, the command, that ongoing. You have to have that kind of power, the power of another, to even accomplish what is in these verses, okay? Now, whenever they came to the Lord, when you come to the Lord, are you one in Christ? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, talking about these us, but also about the slaves here, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, and here it comes, whether slaves are free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, slavery is demonic. It is the ultimate wickedness. It is the epitome of wickedness. It is literally man's inhumanity against man. And you know, when you go back to the beginning, I go back to the children of Israel. Were they slaves? Yeah, they were slaves under Pharaoh in Egypt for 400 years. It is God who always frees the slaves. Amen? And there are only two kinds of people on this planet right this minute. You're either slaves of sin, or that means you're not born again, you're a natural man, or you're slaves to righteousness, which is the new birth. Only two kinds on the entire planet. And another thing about our text this morning, very important, our text has absolutely nothing to do with what occurred in the South during the Civil War or before the Civil War, which started the Civil War. None at all. And it's a tragedy that any Christian, as they did back then, would take these verses and say that God, in His Word, which is holy, condoned slavery. You understand? That's how wicked that thinking was during that time. So again, we have to keep this in the first century so we'll understand it perfectly. Now, not only that, until the devil, until he is finished, until he is cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever, the one day we will see that, until that happens, slavery will never be abolished in this world. Absolutely never. Matter of fact, if you just study out what's going to happen in the great tribulation period, which we will not be here, so you can only study it, we're going to be out of here, amen? Do you know what? There will be slavery. There's still slavery there throughout the great tribulation period. The Bible tells us when John the Apostle penned these words that the angel was telling him, it says in Revelation 13:16, it says that he, the Antichrist, man's, Satan's masterpiece of sin, if you will, he causes all. Now listen to the six different people. He causes all, small, great, poor, free, slave, there you go, slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Of course, the right hand speaks of that fellowship. The forehead speaks of the mind and the will of man. It says, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, every Christian knows what the mark of the beast is. It's Facebook, isn't it? No, we don't know. But here's what we do know about the mark, those who take it. For that sin, there is never forgiveness. No, not even salvation forever and ever. There will be none. What a sad commentary. So those are the first two things you need to know. The third thing that you need to know about verses 5 through 9 is that we have to bring this up to the 21st century, okay, in order to make a proper application for us this morning. So in verses 5 through 8, when it says slaves, bond servants, okay, that's what a doulos, that's what that word means. That is actually, let's bring it up and call slaves employees. And then when it comes in verse 9 where it says masters, let's just call that the employer for right now. Is that okay? And then I'm going to make two applications as we travel through toward the end of this message. So remember again, when Paul penned this, over half the Roman Empire, you know, was consumed with slaves, okay? And who do you think were the very first people to hear the gospel, the good news? The slaves, the poor people, amen? And they gladly rejoiced and they received Jesus Christ as Lord. But not only that, not only did the slaves back then and the slave owners, they heard the gospel. They both came to Christ Jesus, many of them. And now we have a problem. Now you have a slave and the owner. They're breaking bread together. They're in services or house church together. They're praying together, probably laying hands on other people together. Are you with me? You see what I mean? They are now one in Christ Jesus, brothers, sisters, they're equals in God's eyes and so forth. And how in the world do they handle that? I mean, here they are, they're in a church service together, and they go back to home, and I'm the slave, and that's my master. How do they treat one another now that they are spirit-filled, born from above, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? So, how do they do it? Well, Paul tells us, beginning in verse 5. He starts off with that word, bondservants. Again, the word is doulos. It means a person who is a slave, a slave where the bondservant's will is now only swallowed up in the will of another person, okay? That would be his master in context here. But we are all bondservants of Christ, amen? Or we should be bondservants of Christ. So it says bondservants are employees. It says be obedient to those who are your employers, your master. It says according to the flesh with fear, trembling, and sincerity of your heart. Look at those words, as to Christ. Now let me ask you a question. What would happen, really and truly, what would happen if every Christian walked worthy of their calling in the workplace and obeyed just this one verse? Do you think the workplace would be changed? It would be changed, loved one, forever. When it says be obedient, it means literally an ongoing obedience. Be constantly obedient. Now listen to me, even regardless of the employer, your boss, the employer's behavior. You know, we have good bosses. We have bad bosses. We have Christian bosses that's supposed to be Christians, but they get on the job. They don't act like Christians. Amen? They don't talk like Christians. You know, if you're a Christian and you're a boss, then you better act like God. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing. So Christians, don't you think that Christians ought to be the most faithful workers in any company? The most honest workers in any company? Amen? Yeah, they should be the most productive worker. I mean, they should be at work on time. They shouldn't get there and have to be checking their email all day, going to the internet, looking at their iPhone, you know, putting earpods in. Is it earpods? What's that called in your ear? AirPod. Only Pastor Raul would know that. He's got them in right now. No, AirPods. I don't know why I call them earpods. They're AirPods. And, you know, I don't know why. I haven't gotten used to that yet. I mean, when I see people wear those, it's like, are you from another planet or something? Now, I'm not being critical of that. I even have a pair, but I would never wear them in public. You understand? No. I have some respect left for myself, okay? Yeah. No. So what would happen if you didn't check your emails every 5 minutes and so forth, you see? We shouldn't be doing that. And we're certainly, if you work for a company, and whether it's Christian or not, you're not paid to evangelize. Amen? You can evangelize on your break. Do it on lunch. But you're not paid to evangelize. You're paid to walk worthy of your calling and fulfill what God is commanding us to do in verse 5. And if you're employed by a Christian company, God forbid that you would ever think that you deserve special treatment, because you don't. I don't. No, or that you would take advantage of your Christian company, your boss, and so forth. That's a terrible thing. The mindset that we're to have, look at it again, the heart set and mindset, it says, bond servants, employees, be obedient to those who are your masters, that would be, again, your employer, according to the flesh, fear and trembling, there's a mindset and heart set, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So we obey with fear and trembling. And we do so with sincerity or singleness of heart. Now listen, we have staff here that work with me every day, all through the week. I have never seen them fear and tremble. Do you understand? I'm usually the one that's afraid to even come in, you know? No, listen, this is so much more than just I respect the person that's my boss or whatever. This is much, much more than that. Listen, it's very important that the believer does not obey verse 5 because of his employer. He obeys verse 5 because of his Savior. You see what it says? It says, as to Christ. Paul writing to Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many bondservants, doulos, the slaves, that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So you honor them by working hard and doing your job. And see, the reason? So that the name of God, his doctrine, may not be blasphemed, and those who have believing masters or believing companies that you work for, so forth, employers, let them not despise them because they are brethren. In other words, don't take advantage of your boss, your Christian company. He says, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. So Paul the Apostle tells Timothy, he says, here's how you need to honor your boss, those people that are working. He says, you want to show everyone in the company that you work for the power of a life that has been transformed by the living God. Amen? And that's what we all are. It says in Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do in word, in deed, whatever you do in this life as a believer, it says, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. That's the title of this sermon, by the way. You do it for the Lord. You don't do things for the men. You love the Lord. You want to please him. Amen? It says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And here's why. For you, me, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. If you are you in a job? Do you work for a company, but you just hate working there? You don't like the people that you are around. To go to work is like drudgery or whatever. I can tell you how to get over that. I mean, the Bible, matter of fact, the Bible just told us how to get over that. If you really want to enjoy your job, whatever you do for a living, wherever you work for a living, if you really want to enjoy that, then you must understand this, that you, as a believer, do not work for the man. That was from a movie. What movie? The Man Will Stick It to You. What movie was that? What was that movie? You know, the guitar. Black Jack. What's his name? Or Jack Black. School of Rock. Praise the Lord. That was a word of God. You catch that? No, listen. You know, you don't work for men. Do you understand? You don't belong to man. You don't belong to your company. You belong to Jesus Christ. Man, listen, you work for the Lord. Now, that's easy to do, isn't it? Listen, I told you the story. I worked for a Christian family. As a matter of fact, I managed all of their properties. And I was pastoring right here. This years and years ago when we first started out. And and when you have a lot of money, I guess when you're a millionaire, you don't live in a 1,200 square foot home, do you? Well, they didn't. It was more like 14,000 square feet. Do you follow me? So, you know, in those kind of homes, every room has a name. This is this, you know, and this is a butler's pan and all this. I have to memorize all the names just to get through the house. So the owner of the home, who's a believer, said, Bill, you see the wall right here? This we want to repaint this entire area. Well, it was larger than this area. Do you understand? One room larger than this area. And tall ceilings and all that. He said, would you get me a color palette of paint, you know, paint color palette? I'm going to select a color. I said, you bet. So I went down to wherever the paint, Jones Blair, whatever it was, got a color chart, and he picked this color. And so I went down to the place, had a little thing of paint mixed up, and walked in there, and it was a brick. It was all brick, by the way, the walls. And I put a little dab on there of the paint, you know, just so he could take a look. So the next day when I came in, he said, where did you, what is that on the wall? I said, paint. That's that color you like. He said, that's it? I said, yeah. He said, oh, no. He said, I need you to paint the whole wall. Remember I told you that story? I said, you want me to paint the whole 60 feet long? But can't you just tell from, and he looked at me. And now this is the truth. Every day I came in, every day was a different color. I painted that wall 17 times. 17 different colors. I'm in the pulpit, I'm telling the truth. Okay? Ask my wife. 17 times. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that I was about ready to, that person? Huh? He was my boss. I worked for him. He paid me to paint that wall 17 times. And guess what? The last color that I painted, he said, okay, I know which color I want. I said, which one? He said, the very first color you put on. Oh, yeah. Listen, but I'm going to tell you why I did that and why I did not complain. And while, yes, I looked at that person and I smiled, but my mind wasn't smiling. You understand? I was going, you are out of it, buddy. But no, I kept my cool. You know why? I didn't paint that wall 17 times for him. I painted it 17 times for Jesus. Do you understand? Now, that's what this scripture means, and that's how you enjoy your job. And it goes and says, and not with eye service as men pleasers, but as what? There's that word again. Slaves. Bond servants. Slaves of whom? Christ Jesus. Did you know the Bible says in Romans, I think it's 6:22, it says that we are slaves of God? Amen. Think about that. How glorious is that? He says, not men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, eye service. You know, what does that mean? That means that, you know, you don't want to, it's like a person, you're the hardest worker in the company as long as the boss looks at you. But the moment he's not watching you, you know, you just kind of slack off. You know, we don't want to be those kind of people. You know, it's like when your boss walks in and there you are, you're supposed to be working on the computer, but really, you know, you hear him coming and you, what's it called? You minimize the screen because you pull down the solitaire that you're playing. Now, that you shouldn't be doing that. You're working for the Lord. And we're not men pleasers. We are Jesus pleasers. Amen? Everything that we do, we don't have to work. Okay, you want me to go do this? I'll do it. I'm here to please my Lord. I belong to him. I'm a bondservant, a doulos of Christ. That's what we have to keep in our hearts. Paul says this about men pleasers or Jesus pleasers. He said in Galatians 1:10, for I do now persuade men. Do I make a friend with a bunch of guys? He says, or do I do it with the Lord? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. In other words, I'd be doing it for them and not for my Lord. Paul, listen, he wasn't trying to win the approval of anyone on earth but Jesus Christ. Amen? He didn't care what anybody thought of him. He loved everyone equally. Matter of fact, Paul, he says, listen, I live to please only one person and one person only, and that is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now listen, he said, Listen to him. Paul said, I'm a bondservant. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't make slaves. Jesus frees slaves. Amen? Oh, listen, Jesus came to set the captive free. And there is no greater freedom on earth than being in Christ Jesus and belonging to him. Jesus said in John 8:36, he said, the Son has come to make you free and to keep and make you free indeed. He says, not as bondservants of Christ, that slaves of Christ, doing the will of the God, doing the will of God from the heart, and tells us how to do it, with good will, doing service. Now watch this. As to the Lord, as if you were serving others, but or as you were just be serving Jesus, you would serve others. It says, and not to men. So what does that mean, doing, rendering good to others? That would be your employee. In other words, you would regard his interest as if it were your very own, as if you were a steward overlooking all of that. And here's the deal, guys. You know, wherever you work, it doesn't matter, but you need to be Christ-like in all that you do. Amen? That's what we, all of us. You work at McDonald's? You work at Chick-fil-A? Well, you need to repent of that, but no, I'm joking. No, if you do, make the best chicken sandwich, and I've only had one Chick-fil-A in my life. I think it's just a piece of chicken with a pickle, right? Well, come on, that's why I've only had one. You got to give me something more than that, you know? No, if you work there, then make the best hamburger that you can, amen? That's what we're to do. In other words, and you're to treat all those people that come through the doors, no matter if it's a restaurant, no matter if it's a business, you are a Christian. You're a bondservant of Christ. You treat them like Jesus would treat them. What a great thing to do. What a great workplace that would be. And the reason that we do all this and work for the Lord, it says knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or whether he's a freeman, okay? A free person. Now listen, here's the deal. You know as well as I know, if you work for a large company, even if it's a Christian company or a non-Christian company, your boss, whether he's a Christian or not a Christian, he may not even know who you are. He may not even know you exist. He may not even know your name, be aware of how faithful you are or the sacrifices that you make, how hard you work, and so forth. But listen, that doesn't matter. God knows, amen? God sees. God sees we're being watched by the Lord. He knows what we're doing. Oh, listen, your employer, he can take advantage of you, but God will never take advantage of you. You do what God says, and it says he will, look at it, reward you for your faithfulness. The Bible teaches us, the writer in Hebrews 6:10, he says this, for God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. So we want to be obedient to the Lord because we work for the Lord. We don't work for men. Now we move in verse 9, and we're going to move now to the owner, the employee, whether Christian or non-Christian, and to the masters. Look here. And you masters, look what the Lord tells them to do. You do the same things to them, meaning the bondservants. He says, and you give up threatening. And in other words, it's time for them now, they're believers, to walk in love, like it says in what we learned to imitate God, 5:1 in Ephesians. Imitate God as dear children walking in love. It says, do the same things to them, knowing that your own master is also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So God says, I don't have any favorites, whether you're slave or free, whether you're male or female, whether whatever you are, Jew or Greek, I have no favorites. God loves everyone equally. Amen? That's right. So on Christian employers, you know, the Bible says, man, you do the same things that the slaves were commanded. You love them. You treat them right and so forth. You treat them like Jesus would treat them. You know, you treat them with respect, not unto men, but as I've commanded you to do. You know, I have been privileged to know owners of Christian corporations, Christian companies. Very, very wealthy people. and how, man, they take care of their employees. I mean, they take care. I know one individual, for example, a very close and dear friend who's a multimillionaire. And I love this person. And whenever the recession hit, instead of laying everybody off, remember the 2008, 2009? Y'all remember that? He kept every person on the payroll so their families would never suffer until the company started back up. They paid them the same amount of money. Whenever just recently I was talking, he says one of his best employees had been with him for 30 years, but he became ill. He went in and paid all of the doctor's bills at the hospital to make sure to get him back on his feet, to help him so he could retire and be in good health. I've worked and known people that are rich like that, okay, that own big companies. And I have one in particular that I have witnessed where they call me and the people that have retired working for them, that I took money to them, their checks, every Friday until the day they died. Think about that. And that's what this verse right here is saying about people. That, you know, you own these big corporations. God says, I don't care what kind of car you drive, what kind of big house you live in. He says, I want you to treat your employees like my Savior, like Jesus would. And that you love them and you respect them. He says, God's not partial. What is he saying? He's saying that every Christian, we're all going to give an account. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Now, Christian, listen. It says, as to the Lord and not to men. I think every believer should truly ask themselves, are you a bondservant of Christ? A doulos, I mean, where your will is no longer your will. Your will is now swallowed up in the will of the other, and that would be pleasing our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one person we have to please, and that is the Lord. Now, how can we not be bondservants of Christ for the one who died for us? Amen? So let's make a couple of applications, and I want you to return to verse 5 with me, and let me read it again. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear, trembling, sincerity, or singleness of heart, as to Christ. Now listen, how do we serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, loyal hearts, a single heart, a sincere heart. Amen? It means if you're going to serve the Lord, then we put all of our heart into it. And why, though, do we serve the Lord with fear and trembling? We're certainly, that's not directed toward fear and trembling, again, to men, but only to the Lord. You know why? Philippians 2:12, when Paul writes unto them, remember what Paul told them? He says, listen, he says, work out your own salvation, not work for, the Philippians were already saved. Work out, Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Isn't that amazing? He says, work it out. That word work out means bring your salvation to its ultimate conclusion, which would be Christ-likeness. In other words, where we're going from glory to glory to glory, we're being changed into or transformed into the very image of Christ. Amen? He says, well, you work that out. He says, you work it out with fear and trembling. And you know why? He goes on and he says, for it is God who is working in you to both to will and to do for his good pleasures, do all things without complaining and disputing. In other words, why are you arguing with God concerning the things he's called you to do and your salvation? You see, did you know that you want to stop progress in Christianity? Start complaining to God. Start murmuring to God. Tell God you don't like what he's doing. Listen, that's a bad thing. That'll kept the children of Israel in the wilderness, didn't it? Yeah, man, we don't want to go there. Look at verse 6 now. Not with eye service, men pleasers, as bond servants, there's that word again, slaves of Christ, doing the will from the what? The heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. The will fear and trembling, and then because God is working in us, man, what a glorious thing to know. And then it says the will of God from the heart. Here is God's will for every Christian. Luke 9:23. Jesus said to the disciples, okay, he told them, he said, I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem. I am going to suffer. I am going to die on the cross. He said, I'm going to be betrayed and all the rest of it. And he says, now, in Luke 9:23, he said to them all, to the disciples, and he says to us, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone wants me, if anyone craves to live with me and be with me and travel with me, he says, here are the conditions for that to occur. He says, let him deny himself. Do you know that's exactly what a bondservant of Christ does? It's not my will anymore, Lord. It's your will. What do you want me to do? I just want to do whatever. You own me. You bought me. I'm your purchased slave. You bought me out of slavery, out of this stinking world. Amen? He said, listen, deny yourself. That means to disown yourself. It means that you're no longer the boss. You no longer call the shots. It means that you might have to change your plans. It means that it might be his will and not your will concerning priorities in your life. Let him deny himself. And here comes the command. Take up his cross daily. And then those wonderful words, and follow me. Follow me for the rest of your life. Travel with me from adventure to adventure for the rest of your entire life. Because now you are a bondservant of Christ. Matter of fact, Paul the apostle, remember what he said in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have a separate existence from myself now. That's from another translation. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, that's what discipleship is. And you say, well, man, that's pretty stern. No, it's not. Jesus is our perfect example. Don't we all want to be like our Lord? Don't we all want to be like Jesus? Of course we do. Listen to this in Philippians 2:5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a command, by the way. Who being in the form of God, that's before he took human flesh, he's always been God, who being in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Well, he is equal with God. Jesus is God. Amen? But what is he saying there? He did not consider his deity, his life, to be a treasure, or him being in heaven and not coming here, a treasure to just hold on to and grasp. No, he says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But listen to what he did. He made himself of no reputation, the creator of everything. And what did he do? Taking the form of a bond servant. Think of that. The Son of the living God. God wrapped himself in human flesh yet without sin, okay? He was obedient all the way to the cross, the suffering of death. Jesus, when he came to this planet, our perfect example, he said he came as a bondservant. The word, again, a slave. He came as a slave of God. He took the lowest rung on the ladder, if you will, and he did not think of himself. He thought of you. He thought of me. He thought of others. Perfect example that we follow. It says, and Jesus said in Mark 10:44, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. What a word. Remember there in the upper room when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, just hours from the cross. It says in John 13:12, when Jesus washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, Jesus said unto them, and he says to us as well, do you know or do you understand what I've done to you? Meaning, when I washed your feet, do you understand the meaning of my act and why I did it? He says, Jesus said, you call me teacher And here it comes. You call me Kyrios. You call me Master. You call me Lord. Same word that's used over for masters in our text. He says, you call me teacher. You call me Lord, owner, master, whatever. And you say, okay, that's good. For so I am. He says, if I, then being your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Jesus is not commanding us to wash each other's feet. Amen? No, that's not commanded anywhere. That's not the example that he's giving unto us, that object lesson. Here's what he's giving us. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant, and that's us, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he sent greater than he who sent him. Do you see how the church needs to get back in order, back in place? Man, listen, you know what? Let us never be guilty of saying, yeah, Jesus is my Lord, but we don't want to do what he wants us to do. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I ask you to do? We're to follow the example of Jesus. Was he a bondservant? Yes, we're to be bondservants. 1 John 2:6, what does it say? He who says that he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. And we can do that by grace and by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen to what Jesus said in John 13:17. He says, if you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you do them. Isn't that great? He says, now let's bring this up and understand it. Happiness is not, or being blessed is not knowing about this. Do you understand? Not at all. It comes by doing. We can be blessed by what we know, but I'm telling you what, we are blessed when we respond to what we know. You know, we're not just hearers of the Word of God, we're doers of the Word of God. James 1:22. Now, the world that we live in, it lies to us. It tells us that, you know, you can be happy by da-da-da-da-da, doing this or doing that, but I'm going to tell you something. You cannot violate the laws of God and find happiness. You cannot find a fulfillment. It's impossible. Pleasure without God, the wrong kind of pleasure without God, loved one, will leave you empty, 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 and empty. Amen? Yes. Jesus told the disciples, remember when they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest? Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, it says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. In Matthew 20:26, Jesus said this, okay, you want to be great? You who desire to be great? He says, let him be your servant. Now here it comes. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Now listen, when a person is a slave, he is the personal property of another. Amen? We belong to the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought at a price. We know what it was, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God, your body and your spirit, which are God's. You know who made slaves of everyone? It was in the garden, wasn't it? It was when Adam, because Adam wanted freedom from God. He wanted to choose his own way, his own independence. And when he did that, he lost freedom for every person that would ever be born on this planet. And mankind has been enslaved by 1,000 different masters ever since. Slaves to sin, slaves to lust, and slave to the devil. There is only one way on a planet filled with slaves. And we are all slaves of someone. There's only one way available for a man, and that to become free. And that is the man, Christ Jesus, to make him the Lord of your life. You know, isn't it amazing that he says, now you know what? I'm a slave of God. But that's not derogatory. I've never met a slave, have you, that would say, you know what? My master or my owner just did. He bought me. You know what he did? No. Well, he just gave me everlasting life. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. Everything, every sin that I've ever committed, it's been washed away. Are you following me? Look at the benefits of becoming a slave, a bondservant of Christ. Not only that, I'm a co-heir with Christ. Everything that God is going to give Jesus the Son, Jesus is going to share equally with all of us. Man, not only that, I have, you have, as a slave of Christ, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. You cannot be any more blessed than you already are blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Man, I look and I say, oh, Lord, time is short. You know, you're listening live right now. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you know Christ. I don't know if you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. But I can tell you, if you haven't, you're a slave. You are a slave of lust, a slave of sin, a slave of unrighteousness. And there's only one person who can free you, and he who wants to free you, and who loves you, and that is Jesus Christ. You come to him. Man, you come to the Lord. You become a slave of Christ. You let him buy you off the auction block of this lousy world that is passing away, and you will never regret it. And that goes for anyone that's here this morning. Father, we praise you and we thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord, we know that time is short, very short, Lord. And we are looking to the author, the finisher of our faith. We're looking for the coming of the Son of Man in the rapture. We're looking, Lord, for you. We're expecting you. We don't know the day or hour, but Lord, we're expecting you. We're ready. So, Father, I pray right now in this congregation, if there's anyone here, say, Bill, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you just cry out to him right now and just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me right now. Come into my heart. Save me, Lord. I repent. Just come and live in me and be the Lord of my life. If you're listening live right now, all over the world, wherever you might be, you just right now, just say, Jesus, come into my life. I don't want to be a slave of sin anymore. I don't want to be a slave of the devil. I want to be the slave of Christ Jesus who loves me. And you just ask him to come and live in your heart, and he will do that. And Lord, I thank you for this day now and for the people that are present and the people that are listening live as well. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. And as we close out, Lord, we pray once again, Steve and Carol, all the family, knowing that you're embracing them and comforting them right now. We love you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? If you prayed that prayer, then whenever we are released from this and we leave to go back home or whatever we're going to do today, I have a booklet down here called Welcome to the Family of God. I'd love to give it to you. You take it home and you read it. If you prayed that prayer online right now, listening live, just send me your address, your name and address at info.